From the world of AV programming and control with James King, I'm Steve Greenblatt, and this is Ask the Programmer. Hey, James, how are you today? It's good to be back.
I'm doing good, and it's always good to be here talking with you, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing well and glad that we're having an opportunity to chat and do what we do here on Ask the Programmer, talk about things that are the probably most common challenges and interests and questions that programmers have. So I thought today we might talk about what is an alternative to replacing hardware when somebody says a system doesn't work. Because I think in my experience, a lot of people rush to just pull out a system because they say it's not working. And I would challenge to say that a lot of times it could be that it hasn't been programmed properly. What's your experience and what would you say in those situations?
I definitely think hardware gets a lot of bad rap due to bad programming. I've seen it firsthand where I'm having conversation with folks where things were programmed incorrectly and caused issues, and my clients are coming to me and going, "Well, don't we have the top of line equipment? Do we need to replace equipment?" I had to explain to them what was going on. That's not the equipment, it's the programming which we're addressing. So yes, everyone's going to point right away to the equipment because something that they can physically point at. Programming is not something that people can physically point at, so they don't know. Like, best was I heard someone say this is hardware is something you kick, software is something you scream at. So most of our clients like to kick, so that's why hardware is always the first thing. But the way I look at it is, as long as the hardware is meeting the hardware needs of the space, then you can shape it programmatically. And you might just need to change programmable. I mean, if your video switcher is all VGA and you have all HDMI, yes, you got to swap out hardware. But if you have all your digital connections and all that stuff, and it's really just not working, unless it's a failure on the hardware, like power won't turn on or anything, you can solve it programmatically.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. And I sometimes I feel like it's just a money grab because people want to sell new hardware and they want to say that, well, this doesn't work, so let me outfit you with something that does, or they're uncomfortable getting into an existing space that they're not familiar with. Hey, reason there's good reasons for that too, because that's challenging and that could open up Pandora's box. And it's also hard to have to edit existing code, and part of that also comes down to, do you have the source code and is it the current source code? So all those things that we've discussed before, but I agree with you. I think especially in the time when we want to be more fiscally responsible, there are ways to prove that hardware does work and it's doing what it's intended to do. Then it comes down to, is it wiring? Is it design? But the program certainly is a major variable, especially when it comes down to the operation of a system that it isn't working properly. And I think I'm sure you would agree, we've all seen our share of poorly programmed systems.
Oh yes, we definitely seen our share of poorly programmed systems, and that could be multiple layers of why that happened. So you can't always just blame the programmer and say they didn't know what they were doing, because there's a lot of variables that could play there. So yeah, like I know we're kind of focusing on how we replaced the heart like not replacing hardware but place programming. And I think I know we had an episode on this, and I think really what it comes down to, and just kind of reinforce that one episode we had, was scope of work. If the scope of work is bad, the programming is going to be bad, and it could look like the hardware is bad, when really it just wasn't clear scope of work.
It's also depending on how old the program, how old the system is, and maybe the users have changed. Maybe the person who was in charge of defining what their needs were, like you mentioned, is not the same person who's now in charge of operating or maintaining or supporting the system. So it doesn't work the way they would like it to work. Not necessarily doesn't work, just doesn't work the way they would like it to work. And then also regular maintenance. There's something to be said for that, making sure you're maintaining your system. Maybe firmware has been updated. Maybe there's some wiring that has gotten needs maintenance because it's because of just time and use. There's so many different variables, as we all know, as to why a system doesn't work properly.
Agree. Nothing more I can add to that one because I think you hit it pretty well.
One thing I'll add, because this is something that's near and dear to me, is that knowing that when you're working with certain equipment, that you know how to work with the API, that you are making sure that if that you, as a programmer, are taking responsibility for making that hardware work the way it's supposed to, I think is a big aspect of that. And I'll turn it around to manufacturers, because I'm sure they get their fingers pointed at them all the time when these things happen, especially the control manufacturers, because they say your stuff doesn't work. But being more mindful about how to make it easier for programmers to work with your equipment so that they are successful and that you could play a role in that. I think, at least from my perspective in the industry, we're trying to make that a partnership rather than it being just rest on one person's shoulders. Back in the day, we used to have to go scour places to get codes to know how to control a device, and now it needs to be more of an open discussion as to how are we going to make this work well together so that we don't run into these situations where a product doesn't work to a client's liking, and it has to do with the software and the hardware combined.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, software plays a big role, a bigger lo role than most of our users understand. They just think it's code and that all code the same, but it's not. And we all can show that different code can be better, ran smoother, run better, can cleaner. So we can't lump code all into one bundle, because even when you take programming classes, they tell you no two programmers are going to program the system the same way. Doesn't matter, doesn't mean one is better than the other. There are some more optimal ways of doing things, but as long as you're achieving the goal, that's what's the most important.
And as we all know, the programmer has enough of a challenge making the system work to the liking of the user, being challenged to make a device work and talk to it is another aspect that most people don't always appreciate. If that's almost assumed that a programmer knows how to work with all the devices, and so it just there are many variables in making a system work properly, for sure.
Great.
I think the main public service announcement from this is that when you encounter a system that isn't working properly, rushing to point fingers and make hardware the culprit is I think it is not being responsible, and it and trying to understand why something doesn't work is really the important part, and how far off is it from what it needs to be.
So I agree, and I think maybe I'll upset some folks here. I think that line of thinking that, oh, and I'll use this both ways, oh, it's hardware issue or hey, it's programming issue, really comes down to they don't know. They didn't actually look to see what the issue truly is. They just sit there and go, oh, it's a hardware issue. Throw new hardware at it. You're going to solve the problem. When it really isn't. It could be a programming or same thing. Oh, that's a bad programming. Unless you truly know, then you're actually doing disservice to your client.
And it could have to do with a certain user doesn't like the way the system works, and the system could work just fine. It's just not as easy as they need it to be, or it doesn't do things the way they think it should be. So it's
Maybe.
that comes up quite a lot.
Yeah, and sometimes it's this is as simple as stuff. Like I had one time where I got a report that they're trying to turn on display and wasn't turning on. And I walk into the room and everything fired up. No problem. I'm like, huh, this is weird. So the user came in, they're like, yeah, I can't get the display on. I'm like, oh, I got it on, no problem. Take me through how you're doing it. And they would hit our power on button and then hit the power button again. So it's turning on and off. And they're like, look, it's not turning it on. I'm like, you're hitting the power button twice. That's what's going on here. I had to show them that wasn't a hardware issue. Nope. Wasn't really programming issue. It was a training issue. The user saw these buttons acted differently than what they were designed to do and had to provide that training to them.
That's
We
a
could
really
sit
good
there and
point.
go, well, the user was wrong and all that stuff, but really they're not wrong. If that's how they went and used that system, then we did a bad job of the interface, and that's what leads to improvement in our interfaces.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think also when somebody comes from a system that they're comfortable with to one that they're not, then all of a sudden they're going to question, and they're going to be apprehensive, and they're going to expect or assume that it isn't going to work just because they're not familiar with it or they're not comfortable with it. And I definitely come across that quite a bit. That's
Right.
probably a good place for us to wrap this one. I just happen to like this conversation because I feel like a lot of times programming is looked at as being the way to compensate for shortcomings of a system, but it also could be a way of being able to identify really where an issue lies. And it just to me, I feel like we can fix more with programming than we know. We just have to make the effort to do so. So just it's a good conversation to have, and good knowledge. James, how could people get in touch with you or continue this conversation? And if you had any final words you wanted to add.
Oh, you can always get me on Twitter, AB_JamesKing. LinkedIn, I'm out there about on LinkedIn as well. And see with HETMA, you can definitely get me on HETMA. Again, Google me, you'll find me.
And for me, you can reach me at Steve Greenblatt on social media. You can reach my company, Control Concepts, at controlconcepts.net. But what we would like is to hear from you here at Ask the Programmer. Please reach out to us and let us know what you think. Our show in the video version is on YouTube, and the audio is on your favorite podcast player. We would like to get your feedback and continue some of these conversations. I'm sure that there are people hopefully listening that have some opinions and may agree or disagree with what we're saying. Let us know. We'd like to hear from you, and we'd like to make these conversations more broad and cover more topics and conversations that you'd like to have. If you'd also like to be a guest, please reach out to us as well. We've had several guests on in the past episodes, and it's really nice to be able to profile programmers in the industry. And that's all we have for today. And this has been Ask the Programmer.